Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to Ace Time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I keep stepping on Jalen Reed. I forgot that we added him to that montage at the beginning of the show. Good stuff. Good to be with
Jalen,
you. Welcome in. Jalen Friday
Reed.
Morning.
Oh. If Jalen Reed becomes a notable player in the NFL, or with the Houston Texans, even if it's just for special teams, almost especially if it's just for special teams, mm-hmm. I swear he could make good money just going to make appearances as a guy that hypes things up at the beginning of something.
Can you?
Or just comes in at a surprise party, just have him run around
let's do it.
Yeah.
And then he can leave. $2,000 for 5 minutes work.
That's it.
You know?
Dude,
max.
That's the secret sauce. Appearances like that, five-minute appearances and mailbox money. Those are the two best ways to get rich if you're not going to be independently wealthy. Yeah.
He's got to go ahead and slap a trademark on the let's do it.
I was just going to bring that up. Can he pull a – what is it? Michael Buffer. I don't even want to say the phrase because
– The guy that says the big thing before boxing matches.
Right.
If we for the listeners so you understand this – his team is aggressive, and they go after radio stations and people that even use it in satire and make millions off of that. So we get three emails a year, usually after somebody screws up, about somebody who says something similar to what Michael Buffer says.
It's cost people jobs.
So that's what Jalen Reed. I want Jalen Reed to cost people jobs for his own personal gain.
Right. He hasn't trademarked it yet, so hit it one more time, Ben.
Let's do it.
Let's enjoy smoking while we got him.
That's it, man. One more. Give it to me. One more time. Exactly. Let's do it on a Friday. How you feeling today, my friend? How you doing?
I feel good. You know what? And I predicted this and I called this, that after game four of the Rockets series, and this tends to happen in playoff series in the NBA. It feels like you'll never win again.
Mm-hmm.
You have a bad loss, and it just feels like, this team just doesn't have it. And I said then, I will make no apologies for being down in the doldrums then. After game five, mm-hmm. I'm ready, Sean.
You're ready, yeah.
These guys are ready. These guys are ready to go and build on what they did. Yeah, and you might say, Seth, can't expect a lopsided win like that again. I can against a bunch of haphazard old men like the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, yeah, man.
Who can't keep up with the big man lineup. They can't keep up with Fred VanVleet draining threes like he is. They can't keep up with Jalen Green just being calm, cool, and collected and not freaking out
mm-hmm.
and basically just driving his car off the road when things get a little tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I trust and believe in all these things.
I said it multiple times yesterday. My big takeaway these first five games is the Rockets are the better team. The better team is losing this series right now. Like, the better team roster-wise, the better team over the aggregate, if we were judging this like a prize fight, you know, if we were just judging aesthetically quarter by quarter, it's just – there's a couple games where the Warriors have had Steph Curry and the Rockets have not, and the Rockets haven't been making free throws. It sounds weird to say. Of all the things you want to say in a seven-game NBA series where there's so many chess moves going on between two very, very good coaches and star players, certainly stars on the Warriors side and up-and-coming stars on the Rockets side, then I think the biggest thing the Rockets need to bring with them from Game 5 to Game 6 is shooting 85% from the free throw line. I would pick that over any other, like, this matchup, that matchup, this guy's got to play well. Make your, because you're getting to the free throw line. Make your GD free throws, man.
If you're, okay, so that's the achievable thing that, hey, that's not nailing all your free throws or anything. Making 85% of your free 85%. Throws is really not a big deal.
I'll take
unless
80.
They're, yeah. Unless they're sending Adams to the right. line, if they're employing right. Hack and Adams or Hack a Kiwi, as yep. we like to call it,
yep.
Then so be it. I think Fred VanVleet and his three-point shooting is a big one, though, too. I mean, he was 21% from three in games 1-3.
He was terrible. 67%
in the last two games. Okay. That's a big one.
It's going to settle somewhere in the middle, probably.
Right, I mean, right. Yeah. Well, no, he didn't need 67% right. to have the lopsided victory.
I'll take 40 from him.
Right.
You know now, what I mean? I'll take 40.
50% is something that you can say, okay, 50% is a good night, but it's not extreme or weird.
That's a great night, yeah.
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 You're right, right. It's a very good night, yeah. but it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
For sure, for sure.
The one asterisk I would put on you saying that the Rockets are a better team is that in the postseason, the experience matters.
Oh, yeah.
The Rockets are a better team when they keep their crap together.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't cower in front of the moment. And they did that. They did not cower in the moment in Game 5. That was a crucial backs against the wall. You got to do it. You're in that same situation mathematically now, but on the road. If they keep their crap together,
yeah.
and I include that in the free throw shooting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're an NBA team, and Your non-centers were shooting less than 50% in that game. Like you can't be that team. So on the road, do now what you did at home in Game 5.
That's what too. Like just in the box score, missed free throws and missed free throw. But some of them are really infuriating. Like after a technical foul, missing a free throw. Like that's one that I think almost has a reverse effect. Like Draymond gets called for a technical foul. Everybody's perplexed on that Warriors side over it. They're angry. And Jalen Green steps up to the free throw line and misses the foul shot after a technical. It almost invigorates the Warriors.
Yeah.
Alperen Şengün like barely grazing the front of the rim on free throws. That's indicative to me of in those games where that's happened, of a mindset, you know, like that he's mm-hmm. short-arming things. So, yeah, like aesthetically, like they're not all created equal. And there have been too many in this series where it's like, man, that's not where it just bounces in and out. That's a team that's either nervous or lacking focus, or they're in their heads.
The timidity quotient.
Yeah.
How timid? Who's going to be more timid? And Dylan Brooks, boy, this could either be brilliant or blow up in their faces. Dylan Brooks said that they got Steph to a point where he was playing timid.
Yeah.
And Steph Curry could take that as bait and just end up going off and hit 15 threes tonight.
I'd rather he not said that.
I kind of like it except I know this isn't the case. You're not going to bait Steph Curry into being an inefficient guy. Steph Curry is totally comfortable being a guy that doesn't score at all as long as everybody else around him is eating.
I will remind you, Dylan Brooks has a history of saying the wrong things about the wrong people at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Hashtag LeBron James in the playoffs back in the day. So,
the biggest thing with Steph, honestly, it's that, yes, they've done very well against him defensively in the last two games. Just don't lose track of him in the offensive rebounds. Mm-hmm. Just don't. This is the old bugaboo is, oh, Steph Curry's the most dangerous guy over there. Not a one of us knows where he is right now.
Right.
And on the offensive rebounds, that was the one thing that you can fix and you can hem up that you've got to realistically be better at this game if you want to beat them.
Yeah, I think of the star players on the Rockets, you know, we're talking about what the Rockets need to bring to Game 6 that maybe they brought to Game 5. Free throw shooting for sure. I'm with you on Jalen. Man, Jalen, just you don't need to be the guy going out and getting 38 like you did in Game 2. Just don't be the guy you were in Games 1, 3, and 4 where you were negative out there. You know, don't do that. To me, I think Alperen Şengün largely doing what he's done, but add in making the makeable shots. He's had so many. His box scores look fine. He's had so many games where he could have had another 10 points if he's just not short-arming shots he made during the regular season. So there's that with him. And then among the star players, the one that is not negotiable is the version of Amen Thompson that showed up, particularly in the first half of Game 5. Where he had five steals at halftime, where he was a menace at ball, and he was good offensively too. That's on the road. That is the non-negotiable one. The version of Amen Thompson, peak Amen Thompson, who defended really well. Steph Curry didn't have a good game. He was good. Amen was good offensively. And he had a bunch of steals, which allowed them to get out and get easy baskets. That has to show up tonight.
And Steph Curry has, in the past two games combined, he's got 30 points. Mm-hmm. Now, he didn't play, you know, 1.5 quarters in that game, but still, they've produced the worst version of Steph Curry these last couple games.
Yep.
Whereas in the first game, he was doing the classic, well, that's a circus shot for anybody else, but it's probably high percentage for Steph Curry on this night.
Yeah, okay. And that's the scary thing is like they're circus shots because he was actually being defended pretty well. You know, that's the thing about Steph is you can defend him well, especially at home where the crowd, you know, you get that momentum going. Like we've watched it for 10 years. Like Steph Curry can still bury you under two or three three-pointers in 45 seconds, you know?
I like the way you phrased it in our show prep for Jalen Green that he's got to be non-masochistic.
Yes,
Jalen Green.
Non-masochistic, yeah. Man.
Well, no, it's there's sometimes where Jalen looks like he's on social media for the first time. Mm-hmm. And like, wait, hey, whoa, how come everybody's coming after me? Yeah. Man, you got to just settle down, breathe a little bit, okay? Yeah they're going to come after you. But you can step away from the app, okay?
Yes.
And that's what you do. Step away from the app. Hand the phone to Fred. Hand the phone to Shane Goon.
Yeah.
Hand the phone somebody else.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
You don't have to deal with all the haters, all right? Yeah, you got all these people coming at you, actually going after your family and whatnot. No big deal. Just let it go.
That's funny.
Pass the phone.
I love that. Rockets, text messages flying in early here. Rockets are losing because of Jalen Green. Jalen, this series, you know, if we do stock up, stock down, if we were to do it right now on this series, like with players, I feel like Alperen Şengün, even Jalen Green, definitely stock down. Fred VanVleet probably stock up just based on the last two games. I mean, he was outside of the an out of body experience level shooting threes the last couple of games.
Well, you know where I am with Jalen Green. It's that I think as long as you reset your expectations for what you want him to be, then Jalen Green, especially with some of the growth and maturity that he showed in the regular season and within this playoff series, because we've seen very good Jalen Green, we've seen abysmal Jalen Green, it's that if you were to bring somebody else onto the team that can score, that can shoot, whoever it might be, that you can get the best version of Jalen Green. Just don't ever expect him that at some point he's going to be the alpha with the Mamba mentality or what have you. He can be a really nice player.
If we come in on Monday and the season's over, that is the guy the spotlight's on heading into the offseason.
It's just, it confirmed for me that he's not untouchable. That's all I've thought this series. And, you know, Fred VanVleet had a really nice quote where he was trying to support Jalen Green and people turned it into, wow, Jalen Green's saying some really good stuff about Devin Booker here. Like, basically, he was saying other than, you know, Jalen Green has the potential of these other guys, and then he pointed out some other guards that.
Oh, VanVleet did. Yeah.
Yeah. What did I say?
You said Jalen Green said nice things about Devin Booker. Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with me?
That's okay. I kind of knew what you. I think I thought I knew what you meant, but I wanted to let you kind of
ding in the hole. That's a pretty big mess up. I'm too damn excited. Fred VanVleet said some nice things about Jalen Green.
Yeah.
And in doing so, he mentioned other guards around the league.
Who could be
a
Rocket?
Of course, the headlines are just what he said about Devin Booker. Or whatever he said
that
about
makes
somebody
sense.
Else.
Yeah, that's
he was
funny.
He was comparing Jalen Green and pointing out how young he is.
Yeah.
And then bringing up other guards and
like
as things that Jalen Green could become.
Yeah.
That gets reframed as Fred VanVleet really wants Devin Booker.
God. The world sucks now, man. You can't say something nice about somebody.
You can't. It's honestly, I feel bad for athletes in that you can't even say something nice about somebody without somebody somewhere making a huge, bold headline that goes viral that makes it look like you're trashing that person.
Oh, my God. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Off and running on a Friday. Going to be a good show. We got a lot to get to on the show today. Speaking of untouchables, I was thinking about this yesterday. Seth just said it. Jalen Green, not untouchable. I've got 7 untouchables in Houston sports right now. Does your list match my list of the untouchables in Houston sports? We'll get to that coming up next.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, good to be with you on a Friday. Man, I was just thinking during the break, Seth, this has the potential to be a really fun basketball weekend because we got Rockets game 6 tonight. James Harden forces a game 7 last night in that Nuggets. We got a Nuggets-Clippers game 7 on Saturday. I'm assuming Saturday night. And then if the Rockets win tonight, we get a game 7 on Sunday to pair with Lance McCullers' return after 2.5 years. Like this weekend has some really strong potential to it.
Yes,
for being outside of football season, this is like near max level potential for excitement. So I'm very pumped
in terms
about this
weekend. In terms of total viewing time where you're really engaged and excited, this will be better than most Super Bowl weekends.
Yeah. I just laid it out. That's like a good 12 hours worth of viewing right there.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, even Sunday itself, just with the Astros and the Rockets alone.
It's
nothing better than a game 7. You take a game 7 for one of your local teams over any random Super Bowl any day of the week.
A Super Bowl.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Not involving.
Yeah. Yeah. A random, not involving your own team.
Yeah. For sure. Oh, for 100%. 100%. So that'll be hopefully. Got to win tonight. You got to eat what's on your plate. I'm confident tonight. I haven't looked to see what the line is yet on the game, but the Rockets made a big impression in game 5. We'll see. We'll get to JJ Redick had some things to say yesterday that are really have kicked a bee's nest out in LA, which I'm all for. I'm all for teams not named the Rockets wallowing in turmoil and their coach taking passive aggressive shots at their new superstar. We'll get to that in just a minute. You mentioned the word untouchable in the open, Seth. We went kind of deep on that topic yesterday just because even after a win, there's sort of this hedging that's going on with Rocket fans, I think. It was cool that they won last night. They still got to win 2 more games, and there's reasons why they're behind in this series. And so people are keeping an eye on the offseason and whatnot and who could stay, who could go, that kind of thing. I don't even know if the favorite right now is that they make a big trade like that. If I had to guess just on base things the Rockets are saying, that they're gonna do their best to roll it back with this group. I think they really like this group, and they're maybe afraid of trading away a guy who could become a superstar.
It is. It's also the Jalen Green dynamic and wondering exactly where he is now and what he can be. It's unfortunate that he banged knees in game 5 because he was doing everything you would want him to do. He was being careful with the ball. He was kicking the ball out. He was calm, cool, and collected in traffic. So he only scores 11 points, but it's when none of the starters played more than two and a half quarters, and he had that injury as well. So
yeah.
The Jalen Green upside is still there, and I'm guessing the team is more optimistic than a lot of us are about it.
Yeah.
But it's I don't know. Going against the Warriors, who have a very, very good defense, is probably skewing me a little bit more towards the negative than it should.
Mm-hmm.
The series versus the Grizzlies, I think we'd obviously be feeling a lot differently than these guys.
That's a good point.
About a lot of these guys.
Yeah, that's a good point. Is he getting downgraded? Now, eventually you got to do it against the best, and you can't score in single digits, but that's a fair point, who they're going against. I think this was in an article by Tim McMahon that we dug into yesterday, and that's another reason this topic came up. We went into this article where it was a pretty extensive interview with Patrick Fertitta, Tillman's son, who's involved in the day-to-day operations of the team, where in that article, Patrick didn't say this. He wasn't quoted as saying this, but Tim McMahon had this in the article that based on his conversations with the Rockets, Amen Thompson is the one guy who's out of the conversation when it comes to trading for any of these guys, Kevin Durant, mm-hmm. Giannis, whoever. We're not trading Amen Thompson. And I agree with that. I think Amen Thompson's got the most potential of any of the players on this team. He's the only one on the Rockets I would put in that bucket. I agree. If that's the Rockets' assessment, I agree with that one. He's the only
one.
Şengün is an up-and-coming all-star. He is touchable. You know what I mean? For the right trade, I would trade Alperen. The right trade. And it's got to be the right trade.
Right.
Alperen, Şengün, and Jalen Green. Yeah.
You know where I am with Şengün and Jalen Green is, by and large, I just – the any trade scenario I see where you trade both Jalen Green and Şengün is a non-starter for me.
Yeah.
As a package, they're untouchable. Yeah. In terms of just, you can't lose both of them. The idea of losing both Jalen Green and Şengün is that's untouchable. But either one of them for the right price, yeah, I'm totally open to it.
Yeah. So Amen Thompson's the only Rocket. It got me thinking yesterday. Okay, so who are of the Astros, Texans, and Rockets? Who are the untouchables? Like how many hang up the phone players do we have on our teams here? You know, Amen Thompson's name comes up. Rafael Stone hangs up the phone.
Yeah.
I've got six more aside from Amen Thompson. You tell me if you agree with these. And okay. Audience, weigh in as well on the on our text page, 713-572-4610. I think the Texans, there's one easy one. C.J. Stroud, they'd hang up the phone on any trade talks with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, and really, obviously there's the absurd comparison. Like if all of a sudden the Chiefs wanted to trade Pat Mahomes or something, like that's just
yeah,
absurd.
I'm talking reasonable. Yeah.
But reasonably, yeah, there's no, even a package of players wouldn't do it. Like if you could come up with a ridiculous package of players to trade for CJ Stroud,
yeah.
I still don't think it makes sense because quarterback is the most important position in sports, and that if you're left without a quarterback, we've yeah. seen time and time again, Cleveland Browns, yep. doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You can have an incredible, the Browns have had some stud rosters over the last few years. They just haven't had a quarterback. So yep. no way, no how, mister.
I think Will Anderson is untouchable. I don't think they would trade. I think they view Will Anderson culturally the same way they view C.J. Stroud on the offense.
Very much because of the same reasons that they were willing to be so aggressive yes. in trading for him.
Yep.
And that's a gamble. It's always a gamble when you do it with a college kid. That gamble paid off. You don't then just throw it away by saying, oh, yeah, we wanted to sacrifice everything for this guy who's just a prospect. Once he delivers on it and all the culture stuff is very much 100%. The production is one thing. They traded for the culture side of it, too.
Yeah.
And he's very much delivered on that. So, yeah, no way in hell.
I don't think they would trade Will Anderson for 3 first-round picks. I don't. Mm. Yeah, I don't. Derek Stingley Jr. I'm putting in here. He's the best at his position in football. It's not as premium a position, I don't think, obviously, as CJ, and maybe not as Will either. Like, the league has spoken. Edge rusher is viewed as more important than lockdown corner. Stingley makes $30 million, or his extension was $30 million a year. He's the highest paid. By a fairly substantial margin in new money, you know, and rush ends are getting $40-41 million now.
Yeah.
Part of the reason I have Stingley in there is like just, yeah, like you can't move, like the contract that you just gave him makes him,
yeah.
like you'd get whacked with some dead money with signing bonuses and things like that. But I don't think the Texans, like in the spirit of, like the real spirit of the untouchable player, I don't think they would entertain talks for Derek Stingley
okay.
Jr.
If we take the contract stuff out of it, because annoying.
Yep.
Let's say something happened to this player and on his team where, I don't know, maybe the coach sleeps with this guy's wife or something. Yeah. Just something where the guy's got to get out of there.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with him individually, but somebody wronged him and it's time for him to go. A guy that's never missed more than a game in a regular season.
Yeah.
Patrick Surtain.
Oh, if they like
straight up for Derek Stingley. If they were like, okay, hey, listen, we really screwed this up with Pat.
I don't think they do it. I think there's part of Stingley's, you know, personality that is a really good fit with the Tech. I think they view him as a guy.
His personality is a really good fit, but the injuries are still a huge question mark. He's only stayed healthy for 1 year, whereas Sertan's been healthy.
They
the
are
entire
in the
time.
Spirit of this conversation. I would say Sertan's untouchable for the Broncos.
Yeah.
So we can't have hypothetical.
That's why Peyton shouldn't have slept with his wife.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, they got to get him up and out of there. Okay. Yeah, Derek Stingley. Okay. Wasn't anticipating this.
Anybody just tuning in, that didn't actually happen. There have been situations where very good Hall of Fame players have been traded away because of situations like that.
Yeah.
Because another player perhaps had an affair with a player's wife.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's about it. That's pretty extreme and probably unlikely.
Though. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, Peyton's old at this point.
Yep. All right, so those are my three for the Texans. This is interesting because on the text page, people are like, I'm assuming this person who's just listing names is listing these names because these are previously untouchable players.
Uh-huh.
And I'll get to the three Astros in a second. Deshaun Watson, James Harden, Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker. That's the text. Just
Harden
four
was
names.
Harden was untouchable and remained untouchable until he decided to touch himself. You know, he got himself traded up out
he
of
did.
It.
He did. He did. He started in January. Deshaun Watson and James Harden both, within a week of each other, started touching themselves.
He came in singing that old catchy song. From
By the Divinals.
I think about you. Yes.
Yeah.
I trade myself. I get fat.
Like
I mope around.
Else.
I won't even cross half court. I trade myself. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. When I think about Daryl, I trust. Yeah.
And Bregman left in free agency. Like, they wanted to keep Bregman. Tucker.
Bregman is another guy who touched himself.
Yeah,
he traded himself.
Well,
yeah, he was. Yeah.
And Kyle Tucker. I know the Astros back in the day had Kyle Tucker as an untouchable player when he was a young player. Back then, he was. Things change. You know, like, if he's not going to stay with you and you're only going to get a year out of him and you get offered three players who you control for a total of 14 years, you make the trade. Yeah.
Yeah, do better. That's a lazy list that you texted in there.
Yeah.
Right? Because, yes, they were untouchable when you still had their careers in front of them. Once they decide to push the boundaries and don't want to come back via free agency or they get themselves traded. Yeah, then it's untouchable.
It changes. I'm assuming that's the gist of the text. All they did was list four names. The three Astros.
Who was the last one on that list?
Tucker.
Tucker, okay.
Yeah, Tucker. All right, the three Astros who are untouchable. I know he's not off to a good start, but between what he's been, who he is, what he represents, and what the lineup
and
would look
like. And his contract.
And his contract. Well, you said contracts are annoying, so I saved that for the very
end.
Well,
I mean, this is an easy one, though.
Yeah.
Like, without getting into, like, he's got a really good contract.
He's got an amazing contract, and he's here through, like, 2028, something ridiculous. Yordan Alvarez, untouchable.
Yeah.
Like, yes, the contract matters in that one. I think Hunter Brown is untouchable. I think you hang up the phone on any Hunter Brown talk. A guy who's under team control for three more years who might be the best pitcher in baseball right now. This goes back to the trade deadline last year where people would mention Hunter Brown and you and I would say, no, that's the kind of player you're looking to get in a trade if you're the Astros. Like, you're not
right now in terms of things that are untouchable. If you say one of those guards at Buckingham Palace where you can do whatever you want to him, but just don't touch him.
Yeah.
That Hunter Brown is untouchable.
He's untouchable. Yeah.
Framber is a Buckingham Palace guard who's maybe got a little bit of a, like, all right, maybe the other, go ahead and touch him a little bit.
Framber's 100% tradable for the same reasons Tucker was 100% tradable. Yes.
It's just, the big question is, it would have to go in hand with the Astros falling apart before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And, or a very, very rare player-for-player trade where you're getting some offensive stud that's coming back on an expiring. It comes back to you on an expiring contract.
Something like that, yeah.
Honestly, like Kyle last year, if Kyle Tucker had been playing for another team last year, and you said, you know what, Astros, you guys need hitters, or you guys need Kyle Tucker's on the other team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you would have swapped something out like that.
Framber for Tucker. You don't see trades like that a lot, but, that is, like Hunter Brown, I don't care what the Astros' record is. They could be last place, they could be first place. You ain't trading Hunter Brown. Jose Altuve is the last one, and that's obviously a very nuanced one. He's not what he used to be, but they ain't ever trading Jose Altuve. Like, they're just not.
Unless he asks. Unless Altuve traded himself,
unless
right?
he asks, yeah. Unless he asks.
If he and then did, I think they
trade him the next day, I think. You know?
Like, it would be like, it would be end up being one of those situations like it was with, who was the hockey player that got traded up?
Ray Bourque. Boston. Ray Bourque.
Bork, yeah.
Yep.
And people, they had a parade for him in Boston after he won a championship elsewhere.
In Colorado. I was living in Denver. That was the first year I lived in Denver. That was so fun, rooting for a team that won the Stanley Cup. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the thing that was different about that was Bork had never won a championship before, and it was late in his career, and he got traded away, or he left, and everybody in Boston was happy for him. It'd feel a little bit different with Altuve, because it was like, oh, you just wanted to stack more on top of your already prodigious number of...
Right. Yeah,
ALCSs and World Series.
And we definitely, if he went somewhere else and won a World Series, we would not celebrate it here, I would imagine.
No. We'd be like, good for you, Jose.
Good for you, but we're not. But you're right. Like, Seth's not exaggerating. They had a big rally in Boston celebrating Ray Bourque winning a Stanley Cup with another team. It was very strange. Very strange. All right. Payne and Pendergast.
Heartwarming.
It was fine. No, I hold zero grudge, except I hated the Bruins back in the day. I was a Hartford Whalers season ticket holder, by God. All right. Do we have time to get to the J.J. Redick? Let's save it for headlines, because this is making headlines. The J.J. Redick on Luka Doncic And we'll get you ready for Rockets Game 6. Astros, this is a big weekend for the Astros. Big weekend for one Astro in particular. We'll get to that in headlines coming up next. Also, we want to mention that we're proud to partner with the Insperity Invitational happening at the Woodlands Country Club Tournament Course this weekend. Stephen Alker, David Duval, Ernie Els, John Daly, Moore, the PGA Tour Champions Best are on the course right here in town for an incredible weekend of championship golf, and they're teeing off today. You can go watch it for free. Entry is free. For score updates, tee times, weather notes, and more, head to InsperityInvitational.com.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, let's get to headlines. Rockets, Game 6 is tonight in San Francisco. Game 6, Warriors, Rockets. Rockets trying to even the series at 3 apiece. Coming off of a win that should drive a lot of confidence tonight that you got the best version. The last thing we've seen, other than the bench, you know, I would guess if the Rockets build up a 25-point lead in the third quarter, they're not going to bring in the bench guys this time around. Even if Steve Kerr waves the white flag again, they eventually will, but not in the middle of the third quarter or towards the end of the third quarter like they did this time. Maybe for the last 5 minutes of the game, but keep your foot on the gas.
Yeah, you cannot risk that or take any chances with it until it's almost mathematically impossible.
I hope this is a talking point. Yeah. what to do if they have a 20-point
lead. Yeah, I hope we get to talk about that sometime at the end of the third quarter. Mm-hmm. So many X factors, including obviously Jalen Green. As long as he comes out and hopefully his knee is fine after knocking knees in Game 5, but playing the way he did was exactly what you need out of him. The big man lineup and its effectiveness, and how Udoka's been, you know, going back and forth between man and zone and really flummoxing the Warriors at times. Continue with that, double down on it, or just, you know, keep operating at a high level. The thing that coincides with that is that, yeah, when the Warriors try to just take their opportunities on the perimeter, you got to lock down. I say lockdown. Lockdown by Steph Curry standards.
Yeah.
Steph Curry. Steph Curry's got 30 points in the last two games combined.
Yep.
He's just not been nearly as effective from three as he was in games 1 through 3. And don't lose track of Steph Curry on the offensive rebounds.
Right.
Don't give – just whatever you do, everything you did in the last game was perfect. But just let's add on to that, and let's not lose track of Steph Curry on the offensive rebounds.
Stay sticky with Steph
Curry,
yes.
You don't need to give him extra opportunities to get it going.
Yep. So that'll be tonight, trying to force a Game 7. John Halliburton will not be attending any of his son's games for the foreseeable future. Who is John Halliburton? He's Tyrese Halliburton's dad, who was last seen taunting Giannis Antetokounmpo after a series-clinching win in Indianapolis earlier this week. He walked out onto the floor, kind of waving a little, you know, standing about 10 feet from Giannis and kind of showing the back of a jersey to him, it looked like. And Giannis, to Giannis's credit, didn't decapitate John Halliburton. Did walk over to him.
Why isn't Mr. Halliburton going, since he obviously he's not going to have any more confrontations with Giannis?
The decision was made by the Pacers front office that it be best that he stay at home for these games.
That sounds like that he's had a history of perhaps being a little bit of a distraction.
Maybe.
There's a one-off, and there's never anybody a situation before like that. This is, okay, man, this is on behalf of your son and his teammates. We just need you to settle the hell down. More little leagues need to do this.
Some players
just need to be banned.
Yeah.
Not just kicked out for a gamer. And honestly, my bar would be very low. It doesn't even have to be an altercation or anything. Mm-hmm. If you're just annoying, okay? Mm-hmm. You're out of here.
Yeah.
Your son doesn't like having you here. It's embarrassing for your son. Get the hell out of here.
What's more annoying, the parent who argues incessantly with youth referees, or the parent that is coaching from the sideline, like from the parent sideline, not the team sideline? This parent is not a coach, but they're coaching just their kid. You know, like you see that in soccer a lot.
The parent who's coaching other people's kids.
Oh, yeah.
Aggressively, and they think that they're Vince Lombardi.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a classic. And almost universally, those are the kind of people whose first go-to defense is, I was just saying the truth. I was just telling the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the truth. You're about to get your ass kicked, buddy. Okay?
Yeah. Now, to John Halliburton's credit, reportedly, he took the news fine. He understood.
He gets it. He had apologized. His son had apologized.
Yeah. So he'll be watching at home. The other news in the NBA, the other news making the rounds, J.J. Redick and Rob Pelinka, the head coach and GM of the Los Angeles Lakers, had their exit interview with the media yesterday, their exit media session with the media. And J.J. Redick, when he was asked about, you know, what needed to change or what they can improve upon to try to make a deeper playoff run next year, this was interesting considering Luka Doncic is one of his best players.
The work that's required in an offseason to be in championship shape. And, you know, we have a ways to go as a roster. And certainly there are individuals that were in phenomenal shape. There's certainly other ones that could have been in better shape. That's where my mind goes immediately is you know, we have to get in championship shape.
Okay, he's saying, Luka, you're a fat ass.
Which is valid, and he's telling the truth.
Yeah.
And I actually don't fault him for that, but we're also doing this. You got to remember the context is that J.J. Redick played as starters the entire second half of Game 4.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering, are you expecting your 42-year-old LeBron James and Doncic, even if he's in better shape, if Doncic gets himself in the best shape of his life, is it still appropriate to play your starters the entire second half?
Right.
Stop deflecting blame, J.J. Redick, mm-hmm. okay? Except that you're a rookie head coach. You're going to make some rookie head coach mistakes. Yes, guys can be in better shape. But, my God, stop getting so testy about the fact that you screwed the pooch on that one.
It is pretty – it's very interesting, the Lakers, because they get knocked out in five games in the first round. And the biggest topic isn't LeBron James. The biggest topic isn't Luka Doncic. The biggest topic is J.J. Redick. And that was before he said what we just played right there. You know, between how he handled the pregame going into Game 5 when that reporter asked him, hey, are you going to lean on your assistants when it comes to your rotations in the second half? And he took great exception to that. He took such great exception to that I bet money line on the – he made me like $150, J.J. Redick, by acting like an a-hole in that pregame press conference. I'm like, that guy ain't winning this game. He is wound way too tight.
We've
right
got
now.
Some audio later. Windhorse was talking about how, you know, Reggie Miller had to calm Redick down.
Miller, like what's
in the
his...
broadcast booth or in the broadcast meeting that they have before the game?
Yeah,
Redick is just he is string tight right now.
Yeah.
He's wound very, very tight.
Yeah. We'll have some of that a little later on.
Heavy metal guitar string tight.
Yes.
Is what he is.
Yeah, big time.
His sphincter. You couldn't squeeze a toothpick in there right now.
No, man, no.
He probably hasn't pooped in 7 days.
Lump of coal turns into a diamond in there, man. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Astros have the White Sox this weekend. The White Sox are awful at baseball again this year. They've won 8 or 9 games. They're not good. Lance McCullers pitches on Sunday. That's the big story in this series this weekend, Seth, and I am very excited for this. I'm hoping that if there's a Rockets Game 7, it's in the evening and not like that middle of the afternoon game at 2:30, because I want it to be like it was a couple days ago where you get, hey, Astros in the afternoon, couple hours to unwind, and then the game at night. But my excitement level is very – I feel like mine is higher than everybody else. I feel like most other people have a lot of trepidation. They don't want to get too excited about McCullers coming back because he gets hurt all the time.
Get excited about him on a game-by-game basis.
Yes.
It's his injuries that you have to worry about. And know also that – The White Sox have only won 8 games, and it's not because their pitching is bad. Their pitching is so-so. They're an abysmal offensive team. They can't hit. So
bad.
It's a good first. It's a good opponent for Lance McCullers to have his first outing versus. So it'd be like he was pitching to the Astros.
Right.
You know.
Right. I'm curious here. You like that? I need to hear this. You just type this. You have a grilled cheese analogy for me going to break.
Oh, you had okay. So we were 20 seconds before we were supposed to take a break.
Yeah,
leaving the last segment, and you asked Ben, "Do we have time to play this audio?"
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, well, no, Sean, we don't, because you know the way this show works. If you play a bit of audio, then we're going to end up talking at least 3 minutes afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, to me, it reminded me of, like, you're the captain of the Titanic.
Yeah.
You're 100 yards away from an iceberg. And you're like, sometimes you're like, just let me finish eating this grilled cheese sandwich, and then we'll start turning the ship. Like, no. It takes a long time to turn this ship.
You're proud of me?
Yeah, put down the sandwich,
damn it. You're proud of me that I put my sandwich down and took us to break.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, sometimes we'll be 30 seconds before a break, and you'll say, here's a text that'll really piss you off, Seth. And I'm like, well, all right. And then we're going to have a meeting later about how we got to get to breaks on time. All right.
It's so true. It's funny because it's true. all right, Payne and Pendergast.
I'm ranting along 5 minutes past the break, and you're just sitting there nibbling on your Mickey Mouse-shaped grilled cheese sandwich.
I love grilled cheese. Mariners play the Rangers. We could finish the weekend in first place. Yeah, the Mariners are in first place right now, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so are we? So who are you telling me we got to root for the Rangers this weekend? Can't we just root for the asteroid?
You can root for the iceberg. You can root for the Rangers, but because the Mariners play particularly poorly, you do it in that fashion.
There you go.
Astros are two games behind the Mariners right now.
Okay.
Rangers are three games back, so you got to do that. You got to hope the Rangers win their series.
Like
two
win
to
two out of three. Yeah. So we got to land on a very specific spot. Okay, keep sending these in. We're getting texts. We were talking in the previous segment about what Houston athletes are untouchable in a trade talk. Which Houston athletes does the team hang up the phone if their name even comes up in a trade? Amen Thompson, Yordan Alvarez, CJ Stroud, etc. People are texting in things around Houston that are untouchable. Mattress Mac, untouchable. No, we will never trade Mattress Mac. Bluebell, untradeable, someone says. Text those in. 713-572-4610. All right, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. Seth, Execanon, we've got anonymous executives dishing on all the AFC teams' drafts.
Sweet, juicy, anonymous takes.
We love that on this show. So we've got the Texans. What is Execanon saying about the Texans? And what are they saying about the magnificent Gladstone in Jacksonville? We will get to that coming up next.